All right. Well, I mean, what must be the worst kept secret here is that today is my last Sunday in this role. And so I have some final thoughts. If we can get the slide deck going, there's some things that I want to say. There used to be a leadership magazine, still available, Leadership Magazine, it's called. And pastors always got it. The articles were great, but they bought it for the jokes and the cartoons because they had great cartoons. And there's this one cartoon, it's his last Sunday, and in the background, you can see the moving truck loading up stuff out of his office and maybe the manse, the house beside, and he says, there's some things I've wanted to say for a long time that I'm going to say today. It's not the way you want to go. It's really, you know, I've done this a few times, and I know that the best way to go is to leave well. And so this has been... I'll say this, when I'm fairly astute. I know some of you don't think so, but I am. I'm fairly astute, and I can kind of see things coming. And as some things were unraveling a year and a half ago, I was like, oh no, I know what's going to happen. And sure enough, Rod Barks calls. Tim, so innocent, Rod. He's so innocent, but really he's not. He's cagey. He's shrewd. So Rod, Tim, who are people looking to for leadership in the church right now? And it's like, well, I said, there's a guy, he sits in the second row. I said, his wife's a worship leader. And he plays dumb. Oh, who's that? Rod and I have known each other for a long time. I said, well, Rod, that might be me. Oh, well, I didn't call to talk about this, but would you consider helping out the church? My God, why? But you know what? I couldn't say no, and I couldn't say no for two reasons. Number one, you are my friends. You were my friends then. You are my friends today. I want to help my friends. I will always help my friends. And so that was a big part of it. And then the opportunity to serve Jesus and to serve you and to something that I knew that I could do, it's like, all right, I'll do it. We thought maybe that'd be 4 months, 6 months. Nobody thought it was going to turn into this. But it has been a wonderful, wonderful journey. I want to acknowledge some people now so I don't forget later. Really cool doing the lead team thing with Claudio and Doug. And you know what? Claudio comes up here, he tells a bunch of jokes, he insults me, he insults Doug, he pokes fun at us, he does all of those things, and we know it's all in good fun, and it's totally fine. But I have come to see something in Claudio that I have great respect for. God has given him the gift of wisdom, and there are days where it's like, I just want to light my hair on fire and, you know, maybe make somebody disappear. And Claudio's like, I don't think that that's how Jesus would be glorified. Perhaps we could do this instead. And if you know Claudio's story, you have to appreciate, like, just how astounding it is that this is the gift that God has given you. But you really, and I'm not making fun of you when I say it, it's a wonderful thing. And church, with Claudio as an elder, you're in very, very good hands. You're in very, very good hands. Mike Cormack is Barnabas. If something needs to be done, Mike is the guy. He is just absolutely an encouragement and a blessing and has been that way from day one. And I know not just for me, but for anybody. Anybody who has served in this role, Mike has been exceptional. So thankful for Mike. And our team, the board at our last meeting, appointed in an interim role Mike to support Claudio on the lead team. So he's not left alone. We don't want Claudio left alone. So, right? So Mike is coming alongside. Now, Mike thinks he's really not leadership material. But if you know Mike, you know Mike leads in his sleep. He just does it. Doesn't look like other people do it. And so, Mike, welcome. We're happy. Thank you for doing that. We decided that the interim board chair, until you call a new pastor, needed to be someone with access to a gun. And a radar gun. A radar gun. And so Jeremy Leslie has agreed to do that. Thank you for stepping up for us. You guys are in great hands. Listen, if the meeting goes well, Jeremy is going to put handcuffs on somebody and haul them off. That's what's going to happen, right? And it'll happen so fast. Yeah, something like that. So that piece is well underway. And you know what? Anything I do in ministry, anything I do in life, is always better when Barb is with me. It's 37 years on Wednesday, people. So, yay us, yay us. But really, yay Barb, because I'm a train wreck without her. And so I think that I wanted to start with those. Paul, you quietly, faithfully serve in the back. After the board and Doug and, you know, everybody else knew what we were announcing on Sunday, I went out for coffee with Paul and took him for, we went to Rhino and had a donut and a coffee in the afternoon. And I said, I got to tell you something. Why are you telling me this? Because, Paul, you're my friend. And he is my friend. And I'm thrilled that that we've been able to develop that. He's been such a blessing here with Leading Influence, helped us with some live stream stuff that we were doing, and really thankful there. Stephen, great to see you upright. Yes. I mean, you're always upright, but, you know, you laid down for a little while on last Sunday. But thank you. I'm glad that... praying that your medical stuff gets sorted out and all of those other things, and so that's really good. Anyway, let's get started, because there's some things that I want to share with you before I go, just some encouragement stuff that I want to share with you. And so, thought number one, trust the plan that God has given us. So you'll remember that just about a year ago this time, we started preaching and talking about the little church that could. And we believe that when we went through this vision discovery process, and the question was, what could City Light look like 5 years from now if we let Jesus have his way? What would it look like? Right. Well, like, all bets are off, right? So it's just, the sky's the limit, because Jesus can do anything if we're just willing to go along with him. And so we went down that road. I think we had, you know, somewhere about 60% of the congregation participated in that. I think one of the first focus groups we did, we held at Lynn's place, and after an amazing dinner, because Lynn's house, amazing dinner, those two things go together, we began to unpack what City Light could look like. And I don't remember the question. But Wayne said something that night that framed one of our messages for us in the series. Wayne said this: if we let Jesus have his way, 5 years from now, City Light's going to sound like heaven. Wow. 5 years from now, City Light is going to sound like heaven if we let Jesus have his way. So you'll remember in the Old Testament, right? They go and they spy out the land, and they see all of it, right? They 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. 10 were bad, 2 were good. And they came back, Joshua and Caleb came back with a report and said, this is what we saw, and this is how amazing it could be. And the people rebelled, chose not to go. There's an important lesson for us. There's an important lesson for City Light here. The important lesson is this: we've got a picture, we've got a blueprint of what Jesus has for us. Right? Don't chicken out. Don't chicken out. Don't settle for something less. Don't go through the motions. Keep pursuing and pushing for what God has set before us, because that is going to be amazing. Thought number two: celebrate yesterday, focus on tomorrow. Now,
I don't know if you've heard of this before, but there's a new term. It's called retro walking. Anybody familiar with retro walking? This is the craziest thing. It's actually therapy. It feels kind of stunty, but it's actually used in therapy to overcome. If you have any of these things, don't raise your hand. Just start walking backwards. Back pain, knee pain, arthritis. Start walking backwards. There are cognitive benefits to support memory, reaction time, and problem-solving skills. Well, what would be the problem if I'm walking backwards? I could think of a whole bunch, right? But this guy, this guy in this picture, he walked backwards from New York City to San Francisco, across America, walked backwards for the princely sum of $20,000 U.S. in 1918. Translated today, that's $635,000. And I might pray about that, because that's like $5 million Canadian. But this learning to move backwards and to look backwards is an important thing. Professional athletes use reverse running to develop greater agility, increase performance, and build muscle mass. Backwards walking burns more calories than forward walking. Those of you that care about those things. This is Patrick Harmon. 1915 was when he did it. Yes, $635,000 today. In the English language, we have about 1 million words that we use. And you all know people who try to use them all in one day. Right? A million people. Most of us are aware of approximately 40,000 words and use about 20 to 30,000 to communicate. The ancient Hebrews had 8,000 words. Would have been a much quieter culture. They had only 8,000 words. And the word for past is gedem. Gedem literally means the direction of the rising sun. It's translated in our scriptures as antiquity, past, and front. The ancient Hebrews framed their days around God's faithfulness to them, God's goodness to them, and use that as a template of how he would respond in the future. Jeremiah wrote this in Lamentations, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning." Now, City Light, previously Victoria Full Gospel, has had some birthdays. Now, you've had some birthdays. And if you were to look back, as you look back over the course of the history, I mean, I've been here for like 18 months. But if you look back over the decades of your history, you can look back and see God's faithfulness, God's goodness, God's mercy, God's provision, God's direction, God's leading time after time after time after time. And so you know that because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. You know that his mercies are new every morning. Now there's a tension in the scriptures. There's a tension in the scriptures. There's a tension in living this way. Walking backwards doesn't mean living for yesterday or keeping yesterday alive. It doesn't mean we're going to just keep yesterday, we're going to recreate yesterday. Well, you know what? The farther we get away from yesterday, the more appealing it becomes. But when we were living yesterday, we didn't always think it was so great. We didn't always think it was so great. It's important we understand this. We want to build on the template of God's mercy, God's grace, and God's goodness and faithfulness in our lives. Important to recognize that. And keep that in our forefront. But we have to We have to do what Paul says in Philippians. Paul says this, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward, I pursue the goal. So I want to press forward into the vision, into God's purposes, into God's plan, into God's preferred future for City. I want to press forward, pedal to the metal, into all of that based on the confidence that I have by looking backwards and seeing how he has been faithful over and over and over and over again. One of our team members with Leading Influence, couple moved to Ottawa, left their 25-year church, 25-year job in Quebec City to take on a completely new challenge. And so they had to learn a whole bunch of new things. They've had to experience in their lives God's faithfulness and God's provision, God's opening of doors for them, finding rams in thickets. It's part of pressing forward as they pursue the goal. There's a complete life transformation that happens in this transition of moving forward. Our thinking is transformed so that we begin to think about others and the world around us in the same way that Jesus does. We begin to think differently about ourselves and our world. Our character, when we begin to think differently, our character is transformed so that we respond like Jesus. Think like Jesus is good. Respond like Jesus is better. But you can't respond until you begin to think. You can't respond like Jesus until you begin to think like Jesus. And you can't begin to think like Jesus or respond like Jesus until your heart is transformed to look like Jesus. It's tough. But it's true. It's tough, but it's true. On a personal level, that's the way it is. On a corporate level, as we let Jesus have his way among us, the opportunities and possibilities for City Light are endless. Anything can happen. I said to Jeremy before the service, I absolutely believe this. We have two quality candidates that we're going to start interviewing this week. Either one of them could take us to a very good place. I believe this, a year from now, City Light can look a lot different than it does today. And there's nothing bad about today. It'd just be better a year from now with fresh, full-time, focused leadership. Challenge for us is always to keep up to what God is doing, to let go of some things that have held us back, and to follow closely. To follow closely. So, give me the next slide, please. Celebrate yesterday. Yesterday's amazing, right? But focus on tomorrow. Thought number three. Look past fear and into opportunities. I love this picture. Listen, I'm going to tell you, in the next 3 to 5 years, Jesus is going to ask City Light to do things that are outrageous and terrifying. Well, how do you know that? Well, because that's just what Jesus does. Right? It's like if you think that following Jesus is come sit with me, we'll have chamomile tea. Oh, no, that's kumbaya, that's something else, right? Jesus will always call you to what is outrageous and terrifying. He will call you to the impossible. He called Barb and I, sell your house, move to Victoria, start a ministry that nobody else in the country is doing. That's a great idea, Jesus. Who's going to pay for that? He said to Noah, build a boat. He said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He said to David, I got a giant I need you to slay. He said to Peter, get out of the boat, start to walk on the water. In those moments, fear grips us. And we want to forget everything we know about looking backward, everything we've built, all of that template stuff that we've seen. We're looking backwards and it's like, we forget everything and we run. Or we can forget everything and rise. We can forget everything and rise. Fear not, the expression fear not appears 70 times in the scriptures. 70 times. God says it to us because we're so prone to falling under the power of fear. It happens in our personal lives. I'm afraid. I can't. It happens in our spiritual lives. It happens in church life. It happens. Oh, I can't. I can't. I'm afraid. It's too scary. I can't. Oh, let me be honest with you. Let me be honest with you. We make terrible decisions when our decisions are based on fear. We make absolutely disastrous decisions. Now, in the moment, they look safe, but they keep our lives small. They keep our vision small. They keep our focus small. When we let our fear of what could happen determine our next steps, we miss what God has in store. Our youngest son has a baseball cap, played baseball for a long, long time, did very well at it, went to school in the States because of it. And upstairs in our attic, in a box with all of his baseball stuff, is a baseball cap. Without any of our prompting, he had written on the inside, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." I can do all things. His dream was to play collegiate baseball in America. That's where he wanted. I mean, his dream really would have been to play professional baseball, but that didn't happen. But he got a long ways towards the goal. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The future is never found in playing it safe. The future is always found on the other side of our fears. So, believe for the impossible. Push through the improbable and turn vision into reality. Thought number four, finish well. Finish well. I didn't know this, but on the first Sunday in May, it was 11 years that I ran the Vancouver Marathon. I'd run a lot of half marathons, and I don't want to pretend that it was easy, but I'd learned how to do them, and it wasn't hard. But a marathon, I quite honestly, I thought, I'm going to run this marathon, I'll probably die. I could die on this marathon. And so I trained, I did everything that I was supposed to do, and I finished. My time is never as fast as what Brian Hodges did, because the guy's like a Boston marathoner, right? Never as fast as anything he did, but I finished. And I went out on my run. Every other time we had run the event in Vancouver, it was a bright, sunny, magnificent day. But on the day I ran the full and Barb ran the half, in true Vancouver fashion, the rain is bouncing off the pavement. It's just awful. And as I'll never forget, as I'm running along the seawall in Vancouver, and there's two ladies sitting on a bench under their umbrellas, and as I go by, they say, "That just looks awful." And I don't know if they're talking about me, the weather, right? I don't know what it was. But the route, you start out at Nat Bailey Stadium, Queen Elizabeth Park. You start out there, and it takes you out, and you get out to UBC and the properties. You run through that area, and I was doing pretty good through there. And then I get to the top of the hill where it drops down to the beach, down that big hill, and my calves locked up. And I was like, whoa! And it was like... And so I thought, well, I'll stretch them out. What they needed was a rest. If I'd have just kept walking, I would have been much better. But I'm trying to stretch them out and, you know, put pressure on them. And it's like all that did was bruise my calves. But anyway, I do all that stuff. And then I get through that. And I'm running through Carisdale. And it's like the Burrard Bridge is right there. And I know that the condo we're staying at isn't that far away. I could just quit. I could just quit. I am not a quitter, but that thought was appealing to me that day. And as I'm running along, when you run, you have a number so that when you cross the line, they know who you are, and you know, and your name is on there. So if you collapse, first responders can call you by name. It's a little, hence, I'm afraid I might die. And so I was like, oh, and I'm getting a little wobbly and fuzzy, and there's this guy, random stranger, standing on the curb, who had the gift of encouragement. And he's standing there on the curb, and he looks at me, looks me in the eye, and says, "You're going to finish this, Tim. You're going to finish this, Tim." And it's like, you're right. I am. Because I know that from the other side of the Burrard Bridge, it's 10 kilometers and it's all flat. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And so there were three things that kept me going that day. Number one, the random stranger in Kits, not Carousel, Kits, who said, "You're going to make it, Tim. Encouragement's a powerful thing. Let me encourage you today. You're going to make it, City Light. You're going to make it." And then a friend called me at the 40-kilometer mark. And he's the only person outside of Barb that I would have taken a phone call from, right? I wasn't really, it's not that bad, actually. I was like, "I'm just calling in to see how you're doing." I said, "I'm doing great. I've got 2 kilometers to go. Can you call me in 15 minutes? He's like, "Yeah, I'll call you back. Go finish." And he just called to cheer me on and check on me. Here's what I've learned, is community gets you to where you need to be. We don't get there by ourselves. We don't get there on our own. And as crazy as it sounds, my last 2 kilometers, my pace increased. I'm at the end of the run, but my pace increased over my last 2 kilometers. I felt pretty good about that. And then I knew that Barb was waiting for me at the finish line and that she'd got me 5 Guys Burgers because I was going to be hungry. I knew she was going to kiss me and she was going to give me a bag of burgers, fries, and a cool drink. And the kiss was amazing, the burgers and fries, not so much. We're running a race. City Light, you're running a race. And you know, we could put a lot of pressure on that and kind of psych ourselves out or guilt ourselves out with it. We can do all of that, but that's not going to get you where you need to go. The writer of Hebrews said this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance." Perseverance. Persevere. Endure. Press forward. Don't give up. The race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, who waits at the finish line, not with a bag of 5 Guys. Not with a bag of 5 Guys. But with a crown of righteousness. A well done, thou good and faithful servant. Run that race. City Light, Barb and I, we're cheering for you. We are big on your team. We believe that your future is bright. We believe that you're on the cusp of an amazing, amazing season here in Gorge Tulikum. Run hard. Breathe easy. Enjoy the adventure. God bless you.